Lots to talk about today. We have two notable deaths, Robert Duvall and Jesse Jackson. We can talk about that if we want. Obviously, you're there close to the center of the action with this showdown in the Strait of Hormuz. Yeah. The Iranians, it definitely looks like we're, sort of ambling toward war. There's been very little progress in the talks between the U.S. and Iran, and the Revolutionary Guards, who basically that's their Coast Guard. They're drilling right in the Strait of Hormuz, and so the thought there is that their general mentality has been, if we're not allowed to export oil, you're not going to be allowed to export oil either.
That's exactly what everybody's afraid of. That's exactly this happened as I'm sure you well remember. This happened in the 1980s.
I do remember.
And it was sort of escalated to the point where Ronald Reagan ordered the U.S. Navy to escort oil tankers through the Strait of Hormuz. It became very expensive. This was a program that went on for years. I'm watching CNN International. Now, I'm not watching it, but it's on next to me. Mm. And it's talking about what everybody here in Dubai was talking about today. And that is the fact that there is a second round of talks taking place right now as we speak in Geneva. Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner are representing the United States. And after the first round, where both sides said that real progress was made, everybody that you talk to is hopeful that they can come to some sort of an agreement, because war benefits literally nobody in this situation.
Well, I mean, playing the role in the same way that, like, the role that France is playing in the talks between the U.S. and Russia and Ukraine, mm-hmm. Israel is playing in the role in the talks between the U.S. and Iran. Without Israel, I think, I would be more optimistic. But the Israelis really don't want there to be any deal. They want to continue this. They want this to go on. They want to bomb Iran.
That's right.
Last time they bombed Iran and the U.S. bombed Iran, they didn't really go after energy infrastructure, but they would like to do it this time. The Israelis wouldn't really have much to lose in that situation since they're not an oil producing state. But it's a scary thing. I mean, the second aircraft carrier is on its way. That it's pouring on the pressure. But I don't really think the Iranians need more pressure. They have plenty of pressure as it is, economically and so on. They know what's coming. They're not stupid. And so,
yes.
So I guess the question is the U.S. able to ignore some of these really extremist, maximalist demands that Israel is making? You're basically not allowed to have basic mid-range missiles to defend yourselves with, or you can use them to attack too. But that's a pretty basic thing. They want them to give up their stockpiles of already enriched uranium, and they want them to get rid of their nuclear power program entirely, which is, by the way, if you're an environmentalist, you shouldn't want, because that's the clean power now. It would be nice to see a major oil producing country like Iran, dedicate more of its power consumption to nuclear.
I saw the most interesting thing today, if I can interrupt you for a minute, just to share. Abu Dhabi has all the oil. Dubai has all the banks and the business. Mm-hmm. So there's no oil here. But one of the things that Dubai has done very successfully is they've transitioned away from their own use of oil. They're growing by leaps and bounds, as they have been for decades. But they have built a nuclear power plant. And they have enriched their own uranium that they use in the nuclear power plant. So that provides a lot of the electricity. But today I was out in the desert for a conference, deep in the desert near the Emirate of Al Ain. And there was this monolith, Ted, this monolith just sticking out of the ground in the desert. And it was hundreds of feet tall. And one of my
ventilation shaft?
Well, that was one of my thoughts. One of my hosts said, do you see that thing in the distance? I said, what is that? It looks like it's right out of 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Or the cover of Who's Next.
Or the cover of Who's Next. That's exactly right. And he said, the first time I saw it, that's exactly what I thought. I thought it was a monolith, like a work of art, maybe, coming out of the desert. And I said, what is it? And he said, it's a giant reflector. And I said, like for solar power? And he said, yeah, it turns as the sun moves across the sky so that it's reflecting at maximum strength the sun's rays on the solar panels that are at its base.
Oh.
And he said, our goal is to use no oil at all, to rely just on solar and nuclear.
Yeah, they don't have, there's no shade, right? So, yeah,
no, there's lots no shade. Of sun. It's hot. It was sunny in 86 today. Yeah. So it's hot all the time.
That's cool. Yeah. I love that kind of thing. That's so cool. So, I mean, I guess we can we can linger on this. I mean, so is the feeling there, John, that war is imminent or possible, or this we're looking at another series of, you know, exchanges of airstrikes between Israel and Iran?
I haven't come across anybody that believes that war is imminent. But everybody is very concerned that it is likely. We had a long conversation today at a government offsite about who, if anybody, benefits from a conflict. And we talked about the Iran-Iraq war. Everybody flocked to Dubai because of its stability. Mm. We talked about the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait in 1990 and the subsequent Gulf War. Then the Iraq war in 2003 and the Afghanistan war that went from 2001 to, 2021, I guess it was.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And the consensus was that at the end of the day, nobody wins in a war. Dubai might marginally benefit by a war, but there are going to be deaths, probably lots of deaths. And so in the end, it's not something that anybody should be hoping for.
Well, the Israelis want it.
Except the Israelis. They absolutely want it. And they want it like to the bloody bitter end.
They want it bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They shouldn't want it, but they do want it. No, I mean, for their own good, they shouldn't want it. Want to support the show with style? Go to deprogram.live and check out our merch. That's deprogram.live, or check out the description below. Thanks for watching.
May I answer a question from our friend Sodan? And we want to say thanks to Sneaker Dad. Thank you very, very much.
$100.
$100. Wow. Well, Sneaker Dad asks about the coffee in Dubai. Don't judge me for drinking Starbucks. It just happens to be a Starbucks in the lobby of the hotel. But the coffee here is incredible. It's traditional Arabic coffee, of course, where they roast the beans like as you need them, and then they grind in some cardamom as well. I've always really loved it, been drinking a lot of it. And then the Minister of Digital Security told me today that there's an amazing new Greek restaurant that serves the best Greek coffee he's ever had along something called Fashion Row. I'm going to go there tomorrow and check it out. And then Sodan asks, can we please give him an educated answer on why Reza Pahlavi was in Munich? Have we not learned from Iraq and Ahmad Chalabi? Oh, my God. That was exactly what I thought when I saw the news that Reza Pahlavi was in Munich. First of all, I'm surprised that he could find his way to Munich without assistance. Secondly, we should not judge his popularity based on what we saw in Munich. The crowds in Munich were huge by Iranian standards, maybe as many as 20,000 people. Reza Pahlavi is an idiot. I was speaking today with people here in Dubai who are...
Yeah, he's the pretender to the throne of Iran.
He's the pretender, yeah. They're very well informed on these issues, and multiple people came up to me and said, the U.S. can't really be serious about Reza Pahlavi, right? And I said, no. And then I said what I always say.
But they always do stupid shit like this.
Yeah, we do. I said what I always say, that if he were to return to Iran, he would not survive the walk from the airplane to the terminal. And then the person I was speaking with said, they'll blow up the plane before it lands in Tehran.
Probably.
I said, Reza Pahlavi's not going to go back to Iraq. And I'll tell you another thing. Most Iranians who even our supporters of the former royal family will say that Reza's younger brother was the brains of the family and that he might have actually become a good leader. But he committed suicide in Boston. Why? Because his older brother slept with his wife.
Oh, man.
So Reza Lovely. Pahlavi is not the kind of guy you want to be the moral leader of your country.
Lovely family.